This is Theatre Voice. I'm David Benedict, and with me is Matt Peaver to discuss his new production of Crave. Good afternoon, Matt. Tell me, first of all, about Liquid Theatre and your particular take on work.
Well, we set the company up in 2002 with a production of Endgame that we did, which I'd previously done as my graduation show from Lambda, where I did the one-year director's course. There I met Mark Bell, who's the other partner in running the company. And he's a Lecoq-trained actor and movement director who now runs a major part of the movement course at Lambda. And he played Klov. I kind of brought him out of acting retirement for my graduation show. It went so well that we hawked it around, and Tom Morris picked it up at Battersea, and we were able to do that in February 2002, and it was kind of that which instigated the setting up of the company. And in some ways, that first production set down a strong precedent for our approach, because I come from what one might call the text tradition, and Mark comes from the Lecoq physical style, which is all about understanding of theatre forms and rhythm, really. What happened when we did Endgame was we basically discovered it as we went along as a clown piece. And we started thinking about it really as Laurel and Hardy in Hell. And that wasn't an idea that we placed onto it. That came out of our desire to find the right, fully theatrical form which would complete the work of the language, if you like, or construct a full world. And so I guess that kind of... that's our kind of approach. So it's to use language to create a world, which then we try and find the right expression in space and the right form of acting to hopefully complete that vision.
You talk about bringing out the humour that absolutely is present in Beckett's work. Is that something that you'll be doing with the latest production of Sarah Kane's penultimate play, Crave?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, because it's there. Part of our approach is that we're very keen that we don't superimpose anything. But right from the beginning, when we started, you know, exploring the text, we found this rich vein of dark humour. Yes, so it is there, definitely. It'd be interesting to see what people make of it.
And what is it that's attracted you to Sarah Kane's work? I mean, it is being produced all over Europe. Crave, I think about a year ago, was finally produced in the States with Debbie Harry in the cast. What attracts you? Because as I understand it, you haven't been lucky enough to see any of the original productions.
Well, what happened with this play was simply I was looking for the next project, and having read the first few pages of Crave a couple of years before and not had a clue what was going on, I picked it up again and started finding myself informed by the rhythms of the language and was quite captivated, and got to the end carrying away with me an extremely strong reaction and feeling to it, and not quite knowing why. And from that point on, it was all about investigating, you know, that feeling, really.
At Sarah Kane's memorial, Harold Pinter simply said she was a poet and left the stage. A remark which sounds odd out of context, but actually I think it was very heartfelt. More than in any other play, this play... is more like a poem. There's, I believe, something like one stage direction, if at all, in the whole text. The characters are listed as A, B, C, and M. In fact, in the first draft of the script, they weren't even separated out like that. Is this a poem, or is this actually a play, or is that an entirely specious argument?
It's more like music than it is poetry. It does have a cumulative rhythmical effect, but those rhythms are made up of dramatic moments, which come out of character and relationships and fragments of narratives. So it's, I think, entirely unique as a piece of writing, but it is definitely theatre.
You say it's definitely theatre, but it lacks many of the elements which traditionally have been regarded as theatre. I'm not for a second accusing the play of being lacking. What do you think governs its theatrical nature? What it is about the piece that works theatrically that makes it so attractive to a director?
Well, I think you say it lacks certain elements which make something theatrical, but I would say that it in fact just doesn't predetermine them. It gives you a huge amount of information within a rhythmical context, and it challenges you to find a form within which to bring what you discover into focus out of that. And as soon as we started looking at this, we found relationships, we found characters, we found bits of stories, and we started to put together a kind of a jigsaw puzzle, just because the pieces aren't quite all there doesn't mean that it doesn't confront narrative and doesn't confront character. It's just taking it from an exceptionally different angle.
There's been a sense that the original productions of Crave by Vicky Featherstone at Payne's Plough and the other plays done by James MacDonald at the Royal Court have rather set Sarah Kane's image in stone, and that, you know, those were the original productions. There's been little room for rethinking. Presumably with a text like this, there's actually much more opportunity to go wherever you want with this. It's a very, very unspecific text. What's your approach to this text?
I guess you could say, to sum it up, that we've created a chorus piece. And if you wanted to place an overall narrative onto it, you'd say that it was about a woman searching through her memories and her fantasies, kind of rummaging through the attic of her mind, and questioning, summoning up all the characters that she carries around inside her head in order to investigate the source of her unhappiness with life. So, I mean, that's how we've set it up. The effect of that is glimpses of scenes and relationships which relate to each other rhythmically and thematically without defining a narrative for the audience. In a sense, if it is a jigsaw puzzle, then there are missing pieces which are the actors and the audience.
The original production, in fact, the very first reading, which was done at Theatre and World's End in Chelsea, was done with four actors on four chairs, with very, very little physical action other than the connection of people as speeches were done in dialogue back and forth between each other. If you're doing a choral, as you say, variant on the text, are you doing physically much more than that?
Absolutely. I mean, this people will have to confront what they think about Sarah Kane when they see this. It's going to be fascinating what happens, because I don't think we've gone against the spirit of the play. We've been very careful to make sure everything is rooted in the text, and we've also done, as we learnt from talking to Simon Kane, the very thing that Sarah wanted to be done with this play. That's why she left it so open-ended. She wanted theatre practitioners to meet her halfway in the creative process. But what people will see is a huge amount of movement. They will see the text put put into operation across space within relationships, which will shift and change and reform. They'll also see some more traditional kind of chorus work with images being called into play, which come out of the text, back it up and also comment on it. So hopefully they will find themselves in a space which physicalizes the dynamic of the language.
The fact that Sarah Kane took her own life has thrown the work into a certain relief. It is sort of impossible not to know that fact. The circumstances of her death are as notorious as the scandal that exploded after the first press performance of Blasted. Is it possible to look at the work and see it purely as a piece of strong playwriting, or do you think that the shadow of the suicide is inescapable?
I think it's entirely possible to look at it as a play in its own right, and that is the approach that we've taken right from the very start. And I think it's always going to be difficult to disassociate what one knows about her life from the work, but hopefully we can begin to appreciate the work in its own right. And one thing I think is that although some of it may be about her, she also had an extraordinary empathetic gift, and a lot of the writing is about the audience and not about her. And hopefully there's been enough time, and also we have taken enough of a different approach, that people will be able to receive the writing, I think, as it was meant.
Matt Peaver, thank you very much. Crave is playing at the Battersea Arts Centre in Studio 2 from the 3rd of February till the 22nd of February. Thank you very much.